This is The Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. This is going to be a magical week for two MGM Resorts properties on the southern end of the Strip. The WNBA All-Star Game is coming to Mandalay Bay for a weekend of activities, including the game itself on Saturday at the Mandalay Bay Event Center, home of our own Las Vegas Aces. And then, starting on Monday, international star illusionist Hans Klock opens his new show, The World's Fastest Magician, at the brand new upgraded Thunderland Showroom at the Excalibur. I've got some interviews to share on today's episode with Hans Klock, as well as Adam Steck, producer of the show, operator of the new showroom. But before we get to that, I'm coming straight from a construction site tour of the MSG Sphere, the state-of-the-art entertainment venue right behind the Venetian and Palazzo. If you haven't heard of the Sphere, you are just not paying attention to Vegas. It's going to be a 366-foot-tall round building with a capacity of 17,500 seated, or approximately 20,000 people when there's a mix of seated and standing. The exterior will be fully programmable LED, so essentially the outside is a big sphere-shaped screen that can showcase whatever's happening inside, or it can be the coolest billboard ever created. Inside the sphere will be a 160,000 square foot, or approximately 3.8-acre display plane, wrapping behind the stage and around the audience, the largest and highest resolution LED screen on the planet. It will also have other next-level technology like beam-forming audio that can be directed to specific locations inside the bowl, and some pretty crazy connectivity to encourage interaction with the audience, no matter what kind of performance or presentation is happening inside. It's a first-of-its-kind venue, but if you go to the site today like I did, you'll see that crews are busy. They've excavated around 110,000 cubic yards of dirt and rock for the basement, which goes down as deep as 21 feet below grade. The foundation walls are in place. There's some vertical construction for columns and walls. There's three different stair cores going up. I've got a little audio from my quick site tour today. This is Nick Tomasino, project manager for the Madison Square Garden Company.
Welcome to the MSG Sphere at the Venetian. We're very excited to have you here today, be able to demonstrate the wonderful progress that we've made since groundbreaking. We have a wonderful team in place. We have led by our architectural firm, Populous, along with AECOM Hunt, our general contracting firm. Let me just tell you a little bit about technology. My background is construction, so I'm not going to try to even venture to get into any of the sophisticated details, but we have a venue that incorporates all of the senses. On the inside of our venue, we have one of the world's largest LED screens at 160,000 square feet. That's the equivalent of three football fields, if you can just imagine. And it's the equivalent of 100 times the high def of your television at home. Our venue allows for a wide variety of attractions. We're looking to be able to host concerts, residencies, corporate events, and much, much more. Very flexible. The MSG Sphere at the Venetian is approximately 875,000 square feet, 9 stories tall, 366 feet tall, which in comparison to the Palazzo, which is at 465 feet, puts things into a little bit of context of the large scale of our project. This project can be attributed to many different engineering marvels, especially those folks in the industry and the life of yourself. For instance, the cast-in-place concrete structure has, at each level, a network of ring beams that are cast-in-place concrete that are the entire circumference of the sphere at each level, all the way up to level 9, that then support, which we feel is a throwback to Roman architecture, of a domed structural steel roof. The structural steel roof is self-supporting, no columns, similar to what you'd find at the Pantheon Rotunda in Rome. The domed roof itself, it's supported by a concentric inner ring that each pies come together to be able to then again self-support.
My colleague at The Sun, Brian Horwath, has a story up at LasVegasSun.com with more details about the construction progress of the Sphere, which is slated to open in 2021. This really looks like a game changer. It's an unprecedented venue. It's really going to take concerts and shows and corporate presentations and events we can't even imagine yet to the next level. The MSG officials I talked to today were telling me how James Dolan, chairman of the Madison Square Garden Company, wanted to disrupt entertainment with the creation of the Sphere, and it seems like he's going to do it. Even though I've been covering this thing since it was first announced, it's really hard to explain what it will look and feel like. We're just going to have to wait a couple years to experience it firsthand. Back to some more tangible magic, let's listen to my conversation with Hans Klock, who headlined in Las Vegas at Planet Hollywood years ago and has returned, this time to the Excalibur, with an all-new show he's going to be performing in a very intimate venue.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was really a dream for me. I was here in 2007, 12 years ago, and in between I traveled. I've been everywhere, you know, especially Europe, and it was always a dream of me, for me to come back and to establish here. Because, yeah, this is the city of magic, of course, you know. Every magician dreams about having his own place in Las Vegas, so do I.
Why was the timing right to come back to Las Vegas now?
Well, in between, I did some really other stuff, which were really goals, were like on the to-do list, you know. Like in Holland, I played in the famous Carré Theater. Altogether, the last 6 years, I was there 6 months, in 6 years' time, which is a very legendary place. This is our biggest theater. I went to West End, London, had a very good received show. We played in the Peacock Theater. Between was traveling around and but was thinking after living forever out of a suitcase to have a place where I could stay. I was always traveling with nightliners, you know, these special buses with beds inside for the cast and crew. And we did a lot of one-nighters, especially in Germany. All the venues are so big, like these stadiums, you know, like 4,000 or 5,000 seated arenas. Which are big for me, especially for magic, you know. So you do them only one day. So the whole day we build up the show. At night we do the show, then we have to break it down and then travel to the next city. And this was great. It was an adventurous life, and I loved it. And I made the name there, you know, especially in Germany. But it was time for something else. And then Vegas was, of course, on top of the list. Because this city, you know, this city is built by Elvis, Secret, and Roy. They made this town so big. So for every magician, especially Secret and Roy, David Copperfield, Chris Angel, we all, yeah, this is really a kind of destiny.
Now, playing at this new Thunderland showroom at Excalibur, it's kind of like the big musical residencies that we have on the Strip, because like you just mentioned, you play these huge theaters and arenas all around the world.
Right.
And this Vegas show is going to be very intimate and different from that experience.
Absolutely. But I actually prefer it because when I started, really young at the age of 10. But when I did my first professional jobs, that was they were still in cabarets. We still had cabarets in Europe. They're mostly all gone, except the big ones like the Lido and the Moulin Rouge. But you can't call them cabarets, actually. It's more like a dinner show. It is quite intimate, you know. We play in a 450-seated venue in this caliber. But I love that, because with magic, you have to sit close by to be mesmerized with your own eyes. And when you play in arenas, people, half of the audience is following your action by the big video screens. And sometimes when I watch myself, a magician, by watching him on a video screen, I always thought, well, I could see this at home on the television, you know. It's like, if I see a magician, I want to sit close by to see this, yeah, what's going on. And because you always try to discover how it's done. And for that, you have to should sit close by. And I think it's also, not that I know everything about Las Vegas, of course not, I'm overseas, but it feels a bit that it's a new trend, that people are getting back to the smaller places. They told me that Elvis always played like in the Stardust, and these venues weren't huge like today, you know, when you see Lady Gaga or whoever, the famous huge arena. But I think it's also possible with pop music. because then it's first the ear, it's first that you hear the singer singing, and then what you see. But in magic, it's the other way around. So the closer you buy the performer, the better it is, I believe. And to be honest, it's also easier to fill the room.
Now, the last time that you headlined in Las Vegas, you had Pamela Anderson by your side, and you actually sawed her in half, among other things. What can we expect from this new show?
Well, this show is like everything I've done in the last, let's say, the illusions I do now for a little bit more than 30 years. So for me personally, it's the best of everything that I ever did. That's always a little bit easy when you come to a new city or new country, that they didn't see you before. In my case, they didn't see me for a long time. So in the 12 years in between, of course, I've created so many new tricks, illusions. Tricks is not the right word in this term, but I created a lot of new illusions. And what can you expect? Well, they always say Hans Klok, fastest magician in the world. So it is a fast show. A lot of things are happening. It's like one amazing illusion after the other. There's a little story. It's a little bit the American dream about a boy who dreamt about having his own show, teaching his own show in Las Vegas. But the story is not that important. There's a little bit storyline into it. And I have great help by the director and choreographer, Gail Davis. She is from Las Vegas. She was the dance captain, female dance captain for Secret and Roy for years at the Mirage. So she also understands magic and has a lot of experience with her. And what can you expect? Yeah, a lot of, of course, very known for this metamorphosis, that I change into another person. And the fastness of it is that even my colleagues are asking how you do it. So it's a very physical show. For me, this show is a complete workout. It's an intimate show with 8 people on stage, me and my divas of magic, the assistants, but I prefer to call them divas of magic. And in between, there are also some little, a few really great classics that nobody else performs, like, for example, the floating light bulb from Harry Blackstone, who I saw perform actually on the strip when I was just a child. And this trick always amazed me because he could levitate, he could let float a light bulb, but also over the audience. And when I had the honor to meet him, I asked him, Mr. Blackstone, how did you do that? And he looked at me and said, I do it very well. And it was always a dream for me to perform this one. And then when he died, 10 years later, I contacted the family Blackstone, and I got the honor to get the rights to do it. So that's an example. It's also a little bit the history of magic, this show. I do also another illusion from Hans Moretti that I go in a little carton box, and the audience can stick the sword through the carton, whatever they want. They can examine everything, which is an illusion that I've seen like hundreds of times, and I never knew, I never could get it, how that was done. And also, Moretti gave me the right to perform this. So there are also a few really parts of history of magic in it.
Hans Klok, the world's fastest magician, opens July 29th at the Excalibur at 7:30 p.m. Saturday through Thursday, with 4 p.m. shows Saturday and Sunday. He's in the Thunderland showroom, which has been completely renovated thanks to a renewed partnership between the Excalibur, run by MGM Resorts, and Spy Entertainment, which produces the room's most popular and long-running show, Thunder from Down Under, which is also the most successful male review of all time, as well as the Australian Bee Gees show, also performed at Thunderland, and a bunch of other productions up and down the strip. Adam Steck is the founder and head honcho at Spy, and I talked to him in June about the new 10-year extension of Thunder from Down Under and what it was like to completely redo this room so his shows can continue to grow.
About 2.5 years ago, I just had the idea of doing something bigger and better. So I approached the powers that be at Excalibur and Mirage, and everybody loved it. And you know, they said, we want to get behind you. We want to partner with you. Let's figure it out. And there's a couple of different scenarios or different ideas of where we could do it. We just wound up actually staying in the same room that we've been in, you know, for the past 18 years. And we're just completely renovating it from top to bottom, man. It's going to be, you know, everything we've always wanted. You know, we've learned what our customers want. We said, oh my God, if we had the money, we'd do this. Oh, if I could redesign the room, I'd do that. Now we're actually getting to do that. So, you know, our show is very interactive. You know, it's the guys go into the crowds, and, you know, it's we have the most exciting crowds in all of Las Vegas. I always say that, and I truly believe it. You know, that if you put a screamometer, if you will, you know, every 2 minutes, the girls are just, you know, 400 drunk girls going crazy. There's nothing like it. So how do we get that and elevate that? So yeah, we designed it exactly the way we needed it to be.
Mm-hmm. It seems like when a show is successful, I mean, very few shows have even been around as long as this one. But the average show comes into Vegas and then it's successful in like a small room, and right. then it moves up the ladder and moves into a bigger room, and maybe it fares well, maybe it doesn't. There's definitely a huge advantage with not leaving your venue in order to expand, right? Like you just said, you can, because you already know the place, and so it's really like customized perfectly for this show in this space.
Correct. So, you know, we have the good fortune of selling out, which is good. So we just add extra shows. You know, we've got the 9 o'clock time slot in the showroom when the demand, but there's always 11 o'clock shows on Fridays and Saturdays. But in the peak seasons, which is like from spring to fall, we add, you know, Sunday and Thursdays. So we just add another show, and that takes care of the demand that we've got. And then, you know, we were able to charge a bit more money for the premium seats. We still have the affordable seats for like all the mass of the assets, where everybody can enjoy it the same way. And this particular show wouldn't do well in a big room, because you lose that intimacy, you lose right. that connectivity with the guys.
That's what makes it so crazy.
That's what creates that kinetic energy, is that the intimacy, the lower ceilings, mm-hmm. the guys, you know, going through the crowd. It's like if it was in a big room like that, it just, you know, you still feel it, but it wouldn't be as potent. So strategically, we like being in an intimate room. And this will be 425 seats, up from 374. Mm-hmm. So we'll be able to get more people on the weekends. But again, keep it intimate so we're not getting, you know, too watered down with the big experience.
And then changing the room is going to change the show quite yep. a bit too, right, in terms of extra stages.
Correct.
And yeah, even so. More of that interaction.
Sure. So, you know, we'll have our main stage. We're also going to have three satellite stages, one directly in the middle of the room, an 8-foot round performance area. And then off to the sides of those will be, you know, 6-foot round performance areas. Then the entire perimeter of the main floor is going to be a pony wall, but also it's also performance area as well. So the guys are literally be in every single nook and cranny of the room. We're going to choreograph it. We're going to block it. The cast size will increase. Right now we've got 8 guys in the cast. We're going to go up to 13. So we're nearly going to double the cast.
That's significant.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we've got our Vegas cast, which is the flagship, if you will. Then we have our two touring shows, which tour around the world. We're actually going to take one of the touring shows and bring it to Vegas to double up the cast, just so we could, you know, improve our game, you know, have better experience for the girls. And there'll be servers, that'll be the guys. When you walk in, it'll be fully, you know, catered to the best possible customer experience. We'll have the guys that'll be the ambassadors of the room, the seaters, the greeters. They'll be helping serve drinks. And then there's going to be a pre-show and a post-show experience where we're going to have a Thunderland bar, a Thunder bar right outside the room, where the girls can pre-order their drinks and have cocktail service and bottle service. And the guys will be there as well. So just again, so they go there, and once they enter those doors, they're in Thunderland. They've escaped the outside. They're in our world now, and we want them to have the best possible time for the longest amount of time, too, before they head off to the Omnias of the world.
Yeah, it really sounds like you know, you keep notes all these years of like, this would be awesome, this would be awesome. And you got a big wish list, and now you get to cash it all in.
Exactly. For example, you know, the guys would be on the tables, right? But there would always be a drink that would get spilled like every single night, just the way, even if the guys say move the drinks out of the way. Now we've custom built tables that have actually drink rails that are, you know, fabricated onto the custom table. So we've eliminated that problem. We've got purse hooks underneath the table so the girls can hang their purses. So everything's been thought of, man. Every nook, every cranny, the color palette, the production's going to be just ridiculous. You know, we've got these massive LED screens, which is going to be great. The upstage wall is going to be 20 feet wide, 2.6 millimeter, which is really robust, high quality video, right? It's going to be insane. And it actually opens up on tracks so the guys can come in and out, enter and exit through there. Then the downstage wall is going to be 16.5 feet wide, too. That'll close in the middle and also open up and flank the proscenium. So really, you have 20 feet in the back and another 16.5 feet on the sides combined. You'll have 36 feet, 10 feet high of this robust video, which will really help enhance that show and the other shows in the room as well.
Few more notable show announcements. Van Morrison has been playing the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace a few times a year, pretty consistently in recent years, and he'll be back for 5 shows in late January and early February 2020. Tickets go on sale Friday. And hometown rock band favorite Five Finger Death Punch will kick off its new U.S. tour at the joint at the Hard Rock Hotel with a pair of shows, November 1st and 2nd. 3 Days Grace, Bad Wolves, and Fire from the Gods will join the bill, and tickets go on sale Friday for that one, too. The Cosmopolitan has become the first strip resort to implement a new charity initiative linked to slot machine gaming. The module was developed by gaming company Everi. It's available on all ticket redemption machines on the casino floor, and it allows guests to donate spare change to one of four local nonprofit organizations when redeeming a slot ticket voucher. To kick off the first quarter of the program, guests will have the opportunity to give back to the Shade Tree, Opportunity Village, Three Square Food Bank, or Team Rubicon. You can even read a brief description of each organization when you're redeeming your winnings and donating. You can view which organizations have received the most donations that day, and you can select a donate to all charities option to evenly distribute your donation to all four organizations. Sounds like another little cool element happening at the Cosmo. And in restaurant news, MGM Grand has finally announced a new Italian concept that will take the place of Fiamma, located right at the entry to its district of restaurants and shops leading from the casino out to the pool. Ombra Italian Kitchen and Bar is set to open in August and will focus on, quote, freshly made pastas, artisanal libations, and sensual sounds, unquote. Sounds to me like it will be pretty clubby. The menu offerings will include Japanese F1 Wagyu meatballs, king crab involtini stuffed with preserved lemon, mascarpone, and basil, lobster cavatelli bolognese, a 45-day dry-aged bone-in ribeye fiorentina, and chocolate cherry flambé, flame tableside, of course. What is taking over the strip this week? It's the WNBA. There's a fan fest event running Friday and Saturday in the Island Ballroom in Mandalay Bay. There's the Friday Night Skills Challenge and three-point contest at the Event Center. There's a concert with Snoop Dogg, Iggy Azalea, and DJ and Las Vegas Aces All-Star Liz Cambage at the beach Friday night. And then the All-Star Game tips off at 12:30 Saturday at Mandalay Bay Event Center. Last year's Aces Rookie of the Year, Asia Wilson, is one of the team captains for this year's All-Star Game. And the Aces have another All-Star, the third All-Star, Kayla McBride, my personal favorite player. Should be a lot of fun. It's a big deal for Vegas Pro Sports. Another link in the chain. Hopefully there will be a great turnout for the WNBA All-Star Weekend. My one big show this week is actually three shows. America's Got Talent champ Shin Lim is back at the Mirage Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He's playing the Terry Fader Theater, which of course used to be where Siegfried and Roy performed. So there's a great tradition of magic in that space, and he's carrying on the legacy, Shin Lim at the Mirage. That's it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Please go back and listen to past episodes on Apple Podcasts or at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. While you're on iTunes, go ahead and tap those stars, give us a review, and definitely subscribe to The Sun on the Strip. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you next week.